Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I know this is kind of a hard hour to be here, so I definitely appreciate everyone coming. I will be talking today about one of our center grants, which is the Population for Health and Health Disparities, which is a partnership between USC and UCLA, and I know a lot of people think that's not possible, but it is. I do not have any relationships to disclose. So as a background, the UCLA-USC Center for Population Health and Health Disparities seeks to reduce cardiovascular disease risk in East Los Angeles. This is predominantly a low-income immigrant Latino community with high rates of obesity, chronic disease, including diabetes and heart disease, hypertension, and stroke. Our center has three research cores and three projects, and there is a link here so you can go and find out more in depth of things that I'm not going to talk about. But in general, this presentation is focusing on our projects one and two, so I'm going to come back to those. What I'd love to tell you about is Project 3, which is our community intervention, and we are doing market makeovers in the community, so corner stores that sell primarily junk foods and liquors and having them sell fresh fruits and vegetables. So that might be of interest for you to look up later. We have a training core where we've worked with high school all the way to postdocs and really introducing them to the field of public health as well as the Latino population and specifically cardiovascular disease risk reduction. We have an administrative core, which does all the boring function, money kind of stuff, and a wonderful research method core, which works with all of the groups to make sure that our methods and measures are very good. Okay, so for our simplicity, we call our projects 1, 2, and 3, but they actually have these very long titles. So Project 1 is our individual intervention. It's a Promotora-based Latino family cardiovascular disease risk reduction project, and it's remaking the home environment. So our target population, it's a randomized controlled trial. The goal was to have 240 adults living in the East LA community, half in intervention and half in control. The control group gets a cancer prevention message, really about cancer screening. And then our intervention group, all of these adults, they need to be living without a chronic health condition in the home of a person with diabetes. And those individuals are the target of this Promotora-led counseling. Part of our reasoning for working with a healthy individual in the home of somebody with diabetes is those individuals are actually at more risk for developing heart disease and diabetes than those that are not. Our goal is to re-engineer these families' homes so that the healthier behavior becomes the easy choice and the unhealthy behavior is the difficult choice. And some of the features of this project is, in this makeover, is doing like a refrigerator and countertop makeover, as well as helping with food preparation and storage. And so one of our interventions is called, it's a traffic light project where we have dots of yellow, red, and green, and we put the green on the good food products and the red on the not so good, and then have those pushed to the back and the green stuff put forward. We really are promoting drinking water and making that water more appetizing by adding maybe a little bit of fresh fruit or lime lemon in that and having it be right in the front and the soda, if trying to get it out of the household, but way in the back. And some of the other things is also strategically placement of the TV. Many TVs are in kitchens or in eating areas when that just really promotes that mindless eating. So removing those and putting exercise equipment in a place that is visible. And primarily for this project, it's tennis shoes. We really want to promote walking. Our project two, this is more of our bench science. So there's not an intervention that's happening with this group, but our goal was to have 200 subjects, 100 families living again in East LA that included a family member from a younger generation and an older generation. And the aim of this is to look at cardiovascular phenotypes, so really kind of getting at that blood level, to see how there are differences in families, the extent to which the Latino paradox holds within these families based on the generational status and level of acculturation. When does this risk for getting cardiovascular disease potentially change? Now, for both our Project 1 and Project 2, all subjects are getting the same baseline and follow-up measures. There's many, many questions, questionnaires that we're asking, as well as having blood drawn and looking for things like their glucose, their A1C level, HDLs, triglycerides, and other metabolic syndrome factors. We're trying to find out the knowledge base and how folks are adhering to the dietary guidelines for Americans. Also, one of our key outcomes is arterial stiffness and endothelial function. So this is, there's measures, and you can kind of see there's a picture showing this sort of ultrasound of the veins, and it's measuring how fast blood is moving through the veins, how stiff the artery walls are, which can show signs of heart disease and cardiovascular risk. So now comes for our eligibility requirements. We really are looking at a primary prevention, looking at healthy individuals, and trying to keep them healthy as possible. This was a challenge. The requirements for both projects, first, there's some simple things. They included that they lived in East Los Angeles. They needed to be of Latino origin, the hard part, free of chronic disease, non-smoker, and also be able to walk unassisted for a mile. And that's a sign of their level of physical activity. We are promoting walking, and we wanted to make sure that they could do that. There were some additional specifics for Project 1. That person needed to live with somebody with type 2 diabetes. For Project 2, because we were looking at those generational levels in the same family, we had to have one younger person, so the 18 to 40 range, and an older related adult, the 55 to 75 range. Our recruitment methods were similar for both projects. In fact, we had the same recruiters recruiting for both. And we had several strategies employed, included just advertising, staff presentations in the community, at parent groups and health fairs. And then with our Project 3, so our corner store makeover, one of the processes of that was doing a community-based assessment around the corner stores that were being made over. And individuals that were completing this survey were also asked if they would be willing to participate in other research. And the messages were very clear about what needed to be eligible, so that they had to be free of diabetes, cardiovascular disease, cancers, be in that good physical health. Then, once we had kind of that established, all the candidates were queried about their health status by a questionnaire. And then if they passed that level, they underwent biometric screenings. So here's our Project 1. And this took place at about 14 months of recruiting. We were able to screen 480 folks. From that paper survey, we lost 58% of people right off the bat. That's 278 people. So we were only able to consent 202. Wasn't too bad. Our goal was a little higher, but we were feeling okay. But then once they were consented and we did the biometric testing, we lost another 27%. So 54 folks, and we only ended up with 148 people who were eligible for the study. So what happened? This slide is talking about the paper screening. Now, even though that we were advertising, I really feel that a lot of folks were wanting to participate in the study, and there's a couple key reasons. Not having health insurance, this might be their only access to health care. So trying to get into anything that they know that they would be screened or see somebody. Unfortunately, for Project 1, they had to be living with somebody with type 2 diabetes. We had a couple folks who had somebody with type 1, but unfortunately we had to exclude them. So 66 people right there were gone. There was another 10 people who weren't living in our East LA zip code. They were traveling and trying to get to be part of this, even as far as like 50 miles away. We had 11 people whose BMI calculated over 40 or morbid obese. And this was by self-report. We get into the actual measures later. Then upon questioning, getting further and further and trying to get to the nitty-gritty of how healthy this person was, there was individuals who did actually have already cardiovascular disease, quite a few people with liver disease and other health conditions, including diabetes and thyroid. We had some exclusionary medicines that we had to consider. And one of the limitations of the endothelial functioning and the to see if somebody had cardiovascular disease by our tonometry, so that little ultrasound kind of thing, was they couldn't be on birth control because that affects the test. And this was kind of a bummer. So there was 12 people. Couple had some medication they were taking for cardiovascular disease. They didn't know that's what it was for, so they were finding that out from our screening, and then the birth control. We had 13 people who 66 people that by the screener, they seemed like, great, we've got these people to come in, and then we tried to get them in for their biometric measures, and we couldn't reach them. They were just, their phones were disconnected, they weren't working, maybe they changed their mind. That's not a surprise, because we see folks coming up wanting to participate, not wanting to say no at that time, and then kind of disappearing. We did have some folks that were pregnant and breastfeeding, which we couldn't include because that's a weight issue, it's too much fluctuation, and we needed somebody to kind of see what would happen with the intervention over time. And then some miscellaneous things, so people that weren't Latino or they planned to leave LA, a few minors trying to get in, and some smokers. So that was our 278. Okay, then when we get into they've signed the consent, and so now we can do all the biometric screening. This is showing by intervention and control group the primary reason that they were excluded, and then we had eight subjects that had, it's nine, this didn't get updated, that had two health conditions, not three. So nobody had three, only they had two. So we lost four people, their BMIs were greater than 40. We had 11 people whose A1C was 6.7 and higher. We had some people in the 11-12 range, so very high, not risk, they definitely had diabetes and out-of-control diabetes. We asked people bring in those medications because they don't know what they're taking, so we lost another four there. Uncontrolled blood pressure, vascular disease, and health conditions as well. Some non-health related things, we had three people when it came time to do the home visit, they were in the area. And it's like, oh, darn, and they were down in South LA and some other places. Pregnancy, I'm a little concerned about this, that we might have had four pregnancies because you couldn't be on birth control. None of the women said, you got me pregnant, well, you got me pregnant, but I'm pregnant because of you guys. And they seemed to be happy, so don't know, but that was a concern. We lost more people to follow up, and people who, the time commitment, and just really lost kind of the interest, because this was very time consuming. To have all the baseline measures takes about 8 hours, and it's not done in one day. It takes about three separate days to do that. Plus, there was classes, there's one-on-one sessions, there's the home visits as well. So in all, we lost 54 people, and there were 63 reasons attributed to that. For Project 2, this was even more challenging. We had 969 potential participants, lost 645 right off the bat, and you'll see those reasons. We were able to paper screen 324, lost another almost 40%, only able to consent 91. Of those people that then had their biometrics, we ended up with 58. We wanted 200 families. So this was very, very challenging. So this is showing the screening reasons. You can see how many, just by the phone, they said they wanted to be in research. We couldn't contact them. They weren't interested. There might have been one person who really was interested and qualified, but there was not either an older or younger person that was available. They didn't want to do that. Five people, their BMI was high. 15 that had either a diagnosis of cardiovascular disease. No, it didn't change here, too. Cancer, liver disease, and walking. Got seven birth control takers and the miscellaneous. Okay, then the folks get to come in. They're consented. We've got a person who moved in between measures. We lost follow-up. Some said, I don't want to do this anymore. Three folks with the BMI too high. Elevated A1C, they're consented. We've got a person who moved. It's sort of related to kind of how the birth control was. That affects that arterial stiffness measure. So we lost one person there. Two people brought in their medication that showed they had disease. And some of our testing showed vascular disease and some other health condition. There were some instances where it showed one of the generation individuals got booted out, so the second family member did too. So that's how we get our 33. All right, so in summary, we had extreme recruitment challenges. And when you look at just the health-related factors, just on that paper screening, so looking at the BMIs greater than 40 or those other health, chronic health conditions, we had 11% in Project 1 and 9% in Project 2 gone. Then once they got past that, really significant for morbid obesity, heart disease, diabetes, 31% in Project 1 and 36% in Project 2. So thinking about this, the glass half empty, it's very concerning. You know, what can we do? What's going on? Many of these folks, I would say 99%, were uninsured, undocumented, don't have access to care. So then flipping it to the glass half full side, this having the research in this community is, it may be the only link they have to healthcare. Now, of these individuals that made it through the consenting, we couldn't do anything really with the screeners so much. I mean, we could give them a referral, but these folks that once they made it in screening, it was much more time to spend with them and hook them up into our county system. In Los Angeles, for our county healthcare, there's two kind of plans that individuals may fit into. One is a sort of a pay-as-you-go, and so you just upfront pay $50 and you can see a doctor and get your medicines for that day. No questions asked. The other part is you have to show income and immigration status, and you can be on an ability to pay plan, which that ability pay may be zero. It's not great, but it is an option. And so and then the other thing is, for those that actually are enrolled in our study, we have our vitamin D study for those that are pre-diabetic. We've already identified, I think, 5 people who would fit that study. So once they're done with this, they can go on to another study and maybe continue to get some sort of health care. It's not great, but at least they're getting some screening and assessment and hopefully linkages into care. So I just have some acknowledgments. Our investigators, and Dr. McCarthy is here in the audience with me today, and our research staff who spent hours and hours recruiting for these studies. This is our whole team, and talks about our funding sources, and another link to the centers, all the centers in for the population health and health disparities as well. And then I have the questions, but I think we're holding some of those till the end, so.